Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. It's great to be back on this Monday. I want to keep this intro as short as possible because I'm about to put up the longest podcast we have ever put up on the Des Bishop Podcast because it is our first dual production in conjunction with the Misery Loves Company podcast. I had a chat with Kevin Brennan. Kevin Brennan's podcast is called Misery Loves Company. It is an absolute fest of misery that happens every week with Lenny Marcus. Lenny Marcus, another great New York comic, was not able to do it. So after asking Kevin to be on my podcast, he asked me if I would just do his podcast and then I could put it up on mine as well. So here is an hour and 20 minutes of Kevin Brennan's misery. Kevin is a great comic, comedy seller stalwart that I've been watching long before I started gigging in the Comedy Cellar myself, long before I knew him, when I used to just pop in to watch comedy in the early days of my own comedy career when I'd be back in New York for Christmas to see the family back in the late 90s. And I used to see great acts there like Dave Chappelle and Greg Giraldo and Jeffrey Ross and Kevin Brennan, this Irish-American guy who was always just like angry and miserable and bitter, and that's his comedy, and I find it very entertaining. Now, this is an edited version, hard to believe because it's still an hour and 20 minutes. You can listen to the unedited version on the Misery Loves Company podcast, which Kevin does every week with Lenny Marcus, which is even more miserable than this podcast. Stick with it. There's some great stories. It's very much dominated by Kevin's vibe, which I was happy to be part of. I did edit out some of the things that would probably get me in trouble. I didn't say them, he did, but if you want to hear those things, do listen to it on his podcast. And that's it, really. Enjoy the chat. I'll chat with you at the end of the chat. And congratulations also to Ronnie Chang, who was our guest last week and has now gone completely viral with his takedown of Fox News, which you should check out online. But in the meantime, here's an hour and 20 minutes of misery with the Misery Loves Company podcast and Kevin Brennan.
No, and I met Dez at the Aspen Comedy Festival like 10 years ago. I got best comedian. Dez got
nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Now, the best part was Dez was followed around by a camera crew the whole time he was there, which is like the worst because there's all these celebrities there. I mean, it really is like a big, because it's Aspen's like, you know, close to L.A., so, and HBO was behind it. So they fly a lot of big people in. But, of course, the camera crews are following Dez's every move. And so every bad set he had, I see him. He had to, like, talk about it. But everybody's like, who this guy?
That was a show called A Comics Climb, which I've actually, like, if Irish people ever ask me about it, I tried to wipe it from the history of my existence.
So what did it air on?
HBO On Demand. Like HBO
Oh,
comedy.
It did? It was HBO.
It was HBO,
oh,
yeah.
I thought it was an Irish show.
No, it's a great credit, but it was It was just like...
Well, why'd they pick you? They just pick you because you're not from here? You're a new face to them?
They needed to pick somebody from the New Faces. Like, I was doing one of those New Faces shows.
Yeah.
And I guess I had already done... I had done this series in Ireland about working on minimum wage. Like, I'd done a kind of like a being followed around type thing before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they thought, oh, this guy's great. But then... The thing I had done before actually had a purpose, whereas this was literally just like, let's see if you can become successful. And then I was supposed to ask.
Oh, you were supposed to get a like development deal while you were there?
I honestly, they didn't
so
really
stupid.
Have a goal. It was
so
just like,
stupid.
It was just like content.
No, I know. And the thing was, I remember like one show, the thing about comedy, it's like if a crew's following you around and you have a bad set, they think it's like the end of the world because they don't understand. You know, they don't see you. They don't, you know, you watch your act a million times. You know your act is liable to do from this point to this point. There's like a range of how well your act is going to do, depending on whatever. And so when a camera crew follows you around, if you don't have a great set, they're like, are you okay? You're like, I'm okay. The only reason I'm not okay is because you keep asking me.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't make a big fucking deal out of it, it wouldn't be a fucking thing, you know? Like,
yeah, it's like when you're in a relationship and somebody's like, are you okay? It's like, yeah, I'm fucking okay. Why are you asking me?
Yeah. Like, yeah, but in my case, when I come quick, they go, are you okay? I go, I come quick all the time. Why would I not be okay? Now we have more free time. Yeah, let's get some shit done. You want to do some woodwork or something? Are you, am I okay? I've never been better. I always feel great after I come. You, on the other hand, are probably very disappointed. But that's your problem. That's your problem.
Yeah, but no, actually, the thing about that my first gig in Aspen, I fucking bombed. And I was on last on, like, a 20-person bill.
Yeah.
Crowd were
shocked.
Yeah,
those shows were terrible.
2,400 meters above fucking sea level, or whatever amount of feet that is.
Yeah.
And I just had a bad set, but I fucking was being filmed, and it was my first ever set in Aspen. I hardly ever gigged in the United States, even though I was American. So it was, like, a terrible fucking start. And the whole thing was on camera.
I know. The thing was, I remember that show. I don't know if you were on my show, but I know they had two shows. They had two different.
I was on with Jay Okerson and Eugene Merman and somebody else who I can't remember.
Yeah, I think I was on a different show because I went on like 15th. I think I followed Pat Dixon and I was like, there was like 15 people on my show.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah, they split the two bills. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was like a 15th or something. So when I went out there, I knew the crowd was spent, you know. So I did one joke that I knew that was an easy joke, easy laugh joke, and I got a laugh, and I immediately turned on the crowd. I go, see, I got jokes too, motherfuckers, because I could see they were running out of steam.
Yeah, yeah.
And plus at Aspen, you know, you wanted to have every set be a home run.
Yeah, because at that time it felt like it was a big deal.
Yeah, so you're like, oh, so, but my approach was I was already jet lagged. I was already like, you know, these this is so dumb to have like a 15-person show your first night there. You're just trying to get acclimated. So I turned on them, and I was basically like, see, I got jokes. And I just made, like, a joke out of the fact that, like, you know, like, I'm not going to fucking fawn. I'm not going to worry about you motherfuckers. And I end up getting, like, best comedian. And even after that show, people are like, oh, my God, you were so great. I'm like, first of all, I only did 7 minutes, but I just approached it like it was like an open mic, you know?
Yeah, but honestly,
but
man,
you couldn't because you had a fucking camera crew. And if I had a camera crew, I probably wouldn't have done that either because then they would have said, like, why are you so nasty?
Yeah, but no, it was more than just having a camera crew. I literally hardly had any experience in the United States. I wasn't even sure if American people found me funny. Like, you were
just... Yeah, they didn't. They didn't.
You were in the... You know, you were doing your
thing
that you've been
doing
for years.
Plus, another thing was I only had to do 7 minutes, and if I had to do 10, I would have lost them. Because it was one of those crowds that they weren't a good crowd, and I just did the most accessible jokes for them. And then, but I knew if I did much longer... Because even people were like, oh, man, that was so great. You really fucking you really hit it. And then I was like, yeah, but if I had to do three more jokes, they would have been like, this guy sucks.
Dude, that was so bad that my mouth got so dry that I literally couldn't talk anymore because my lips were glued to my teeth.
Well,
that's how under pressure I was because of the filming and the atmosphere. You know, the whole thing was too much. And it was
But you know what you're not supposed to do now? You put a Vaseline.
Really?
Not Vaseline, but like, what's the stuff you like? If you have a cut on your thing, like, yeah, Vaseline, not like sexual Vaseline, but Vaseline you put it between your gums and your teeth, and so that way, no, yeah, so because
I'll buy some non-sexual Vaseline.
No, but you know the big Vaseline in a tub,
yeah,
the big like gooey Vaseline,
yeah,
that's what you buy.
Oh, you put that on your teeth, so then
you put it between your gums and your teeth, so that even if you're getting dry mouth, it doesn't get dry.
Oh, wow.
Because
now that's a good. You know the way people always go. You have any advice for new comedians?
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Like, what the fuck are you gonna give to? What are you gonna say to a new comedian? Get up! You're gonna fucking die sometimes. But that's an actual genuine.
No,
tip.
Because I had heard a guy, Mark Schiff. He was doing the Tonight Show, and he thought he was gonna like pass out because he couldn't. There was no. He had no moisture in his mouth.
Yeah.
He thought he couldn't finish his set. So then I just heard. So whenever I did TV. I would put too much, so I come out, my lips would be all greasy.
You look like that kid in school that always got chapped.
Yeah, that his mom was like, you don't want to get chapped lips, so let me get you extra gooey'd up. But that would be the last thing I'd be doing before I'd be like getting worried about how much did I have enough Vaseline. Because you worry like shit when you're going to do TV. Because
it's forever. That felt
no, cause,
like for me.
Yeah, because it's forever. Anything they tape is... They own it forever. So you want to, you don't, you're nervous. So You're always worried about a million things. Then when you get out there, it's still fucking jokes, though. That's the thing. It's like, and that was a recipe for a disaster. Like, everybody was kind of doing pretty bad. And then again, I was just like, well,
yeah,
fuck
this.
Yeah,
you just love keep, wait a minute. You secretly just love keep pointing out how well you did.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I brought you into your car. That's why I invited you into your mom's car.
This is basically just for you to go, you remember that time you were shit and I was great?
No, because then I saw you in Australia when I was in Edinburgh. And then you were like, by that time, you were like massive. And then I was like, wow, that's good for you. No, because you're a good, you have a good personality. Like, I have a
you're
terrible
a miserable
personality.
Bastard, yeah.
No, it's not even I'm miserable. I just don't, like, I just have a naturally bad personality where you're like, you're easygoing and you laugh at stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I'm more like this guy walking down the street right now.
Honestly,
grabbing at his dick.
This is what I feel about your vibe. I recently was asked to audition for that Pete Holmes thing.
Yeah.
Crashing.
Yeah.
And I was asked to audition for four different parts.
Yeah.
But one of them was this comic. He was a warm-up comic, the character.
Are you kidding me?
What?
Okay, go ahead. Tell me a story.
Okay, so he was a warm-up comic. The warm-up comic part, I don't think is you. But off camera, he's kind of miserable.
Yeah.
So when it was done, I said to her, I said, have you seen Kevin Brennan for this? And she said, oh, I'm not sure if I know Kevin Brennan. I said, you got to look him up. This part is for Kevin Brennan.
Where'd you audition?
In downtown. It was for whoever's casting.
What street?
Hudson Street.
On Broadway?
No, Hudson Street.
Anyway, so I got called in for that.
For Crashing?
Yeah. To read for the warm-up guy.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And not only that, I fucked Sarah Silverman. She lost her virginity to me in her book. So anyway, so I told Liz, who I do my podcast with, who manages the Comedy Cellar. I go, I gave her the scene, or I told her what the scene was. She goes,
it's the scene where he's doing the one, and he's freaked out about Pete Holmes filling in for him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So she goes, it was written for you. I go, it wasn't written for me. I go, if they wrote it for me, they would have just gave it to me. So then I read and whatever. The woman goes, it's so ridiculous. So I'm like, I do fine. She says, oh, you did great. And I told her I dated Sarah Silverman. I actually was a warm up comic on Spin City, and I did warm up. I've had two different TV shows where I did warm up. So I knew how to do warm up, you know. And I didn't do warm up as like a phony like warm up guy. I did it as myself, you know.
Yeah.
And they liked it because they liked I was like a genuine like I would make the crowd laugh, but I wouldn't do it like a fucking cheerleader like Lenny would, you know. So anyway. I didn't get it.
Oh, you didn't
get
it?
I didn't get it. Not only that, Dave Juskow, who listens to the show, he's friends with Attell. Dave Juskow's not even in show business.
He got
a job as in the show, and he didn't even read for it.
But what
I'm saying is, like, show business is so fucked. And then the reason I asked the street is because the woman I read for, she was on like Broadway, right between Canal and Houston, I think. Anyway.
Yeah, down there. That's where the audition is. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
What's
then I don't know. I don't know why the fuck she said I don't. Well, you said Hudson. Hudson's more on the west side.
Well, I know. I just.
Anyway. So.
Oh, because they just moved office. The final time that I auditioned, they had just moved into a new office, which I remember now was down in like, yes, it's down in like 20th. I know, that's the place. Is it Gail Keller?
No, it is Gail.
I looked it up.
It is Gail. I knew it was like an old-fashioned white woman's name.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if
we
should fucking call her. I wonder if she called you because her off.
Yeah. When did you audition?
I'll tell you right now because I was looking up the email. I was looking up the email to see. So let me see because there's so many.
I did it. I auditioned September. I know because I had a show at the brokerage that night. September 1st.
Yeah,
it was a Friday.
Not boyfriend. I got to get the. It was in and around sort of like maybe the first week of July. Mort. You auditioned for Mort, right?
Yeah.
Wednesday, June 29th at 11:30 a.m., 495 Broadway. It was after that. I got you that fucking audition, bro.
I'm not even kidding. So I asked her. So that's fucked up because I asked her. No, I asked her. I go, how'd you hear about me? She goes, because I don't go out for stuff. She goes, I thought maybe she heard the podcast. She goes, no, because I hear things, you know. She goes, I hear things.
I swear to God, it was me, bro. I'm not even
kidding. No, but she made it seem like she was doing research.
Yeah, but that is research.
You said to her, call me. And then she called me like 2 months later. I didn't get the fucking thing. And then
I can't believe you didn't get it. Because
not
me,
only
that guy
this, that guy was me, right?
It was you.
Oh my God! What
it
a
was
fucking
you.
Asshole.
You were Mort, man.
I am Mort, and I did warm up, and I fucked Sarah.
This is
how I feel. This guy walking down the street like this old fucking man with his fucking. That's not a bad jacket though.
But yeah.
But seriously, like this guy, like what's gonna happen to me next? Like so, the Brian Scott McFadden. I said to her, just get Brian. She goes, well, how about you? This guy's a professional actor. Like he does a lot of auditions. He does a lot of commercials. I go, get Brian. So Brian, I tell Brian. He's not even repped by anybody, so I think they maybe held that against him. But I'm not repped by anybody either. So anyway, so Brian would fucking nail it. So I said to Brian, I go, how'd it go? He goes, I think I did well. But I don't think he got it. And yeah. He went perfect. That's why acting is dumb, because, like, if Brian auditioned in front of an audience, he would completely fucking kill it.
But it is a different skill.
Brian's been doing, he's a commercial guy. It's like, If you can do commercial auditions, you can do any kind of auditions.
Well, I can tell you right now that I fucking hate auditions.
No, I think everybody does. You learn to deal with them, but Brian is a professional actor. He's a professional audition guy, and I know he would have nailed the fucking. They wanted to be a Staten Island lawyer. And the thing is, when I act, every decision I make while the other person is doing their talking, I'm like, oh my God, what the
Why
fuck
am
did
I
you
here?
Do? No, I go, what did you just do? Like, I immediately second-guess myself. And that's what I tell people.
Oh, sorry. You're talking about yourself when you say, what did you just do?
No, I'm always like, why did you say it that way? So the good thing about stand-up is, like, you don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Because you got to keep talking. So even if you make a mistake, you just got to keep talking. But acting is like you're waiting there while the other person's talking. I hate waiting. Yeah. No, I mean, I hate when they're doing those dumb lines. I'm like, your line is, you're so dumb.
So the question is that what's going on right now as I'm fucking talking?
No, this is different because I don't know my line. I don't have a fucking line. In a podcast, I don't have a line.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? When you have your line, you know your big line's coming up. Oh, my God.
I fucking hate it. I fucking hate it. Okay, so let me tell you, this is a true story about what happened.
You almost got me a gig.
Maybe. Well, that's a funny coincidence because at the time I wasn't
sure. Neither one of us got the gig.
I had four different auditions.
And you didn't get either one of
them? Okay, so the third one.
How'd you get it?
I get it through an agent. The third one was.
You act like I'm a novice. I get it through an agent. No, I thought maybe you knew Judd Apatow.
No, I'm not connected to that fraternity. But I was happy for Chris Gethard that now Judd Apatow is producing his show because I saw it in Edinburgh.
Who's Chris Gethard?
He's a
British guy?
No, he's an American guy that's doing a show called Career Suicide about his battle with depression.
Oh, I feel bad for him. Whoa, he's so sad.
So
we had Jeff Leach on. You know Jeff Leach?
I know Jeff.
No, because I was giving him shit. I'm like, dude, if you have such mood swings, maybe show business ain't for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because show business is like the worst kind of girlfriend of all time, right?
Oh, dude. On my podcast, the running theme is how fucking miserable comedy makes you. Like, it's not a healthy life.
Yeah, comedy's bad. Show business is bad. Like, writing jokes is bad for your head. It's like,
you get no peace.
Yeah, it's all bad. So if you're emotionally unstable, maybe you just get a job as like a garbage man or something, like something predictable.
Like you know you're in a weird job when you listen to like a heroin addict story and you think it sounds like
he's
my
got
fucking
a pretty,
relationship with
or he's probably he's got it pretty good.
He's got it good. At least he knows what he's doing every day.
He's something to look forward to.
At least he's got a focus.
Yeah. No, when they used to do those shows on remember when A&E would do a show like Intervention? I don't know if they still do it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Where they would follow around a drug addict. I'm like, so that's what I got to do to get a fucking TV show? I mean, it was frustrating. They're like I'm trying to, you know, make it the old-fashioned way by cheating. No, but I'm trying to make it the old-fashioned way, and this they don't want that. They want a fucking spectacle, a fucking drug addict. No, but so the whole – and then the thing is, how old is this sad guy?
I know, Chris. I saw the show.
Now,
it's
how
really,
old is
it's,
he?
He's, I guess, mid-30s.
No, but the thing 30. Is, everybody under I don't know what age, but everybody under 40 now has to have, like, a backstory now. Well, you have a backstory, too,
I
right?
I have a backstory. What
yeah,
you
that's how I met you. And that's what. And that was another thing I learned about when I did Aspen. Everybody from Europe had a fucking, like, had a physical infirmment. What's the right word for it? Infirmity?
Impairment.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like
that so fucking
I was
Scott,
doing
who
stuff.
Was the guy who had one leg?
Adam Hills.
Oh, he's the worst.
What don't you like about Adam Hills?
Oh, my God. I saw his act. I'm like, this guy's like a bad. If this guy was here, he'd be like an MC he'd be like a house MC at a comedy club.
Well, as it turns out, not only is he huge in Australia, but he's now also huge in the UK. Since that time in Aspen, he has been very successful.
So
shows your fucking gauge of talent.
But he's real.
He's a very positive.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. But his jokes weren't good. Like, his jokes were, like, real corny and real, like, just, I'm a nice guy, I got one leg. I don't give a fuck about your fucking leg. Why would I give a fuck if a guy has one leg? But you have, like, one ball or three balls or something.
I was talking about testicular cancer. Why the fuck can't you do jokes about testicular cancer? You do jokes about shit you know, and I had a fucking unique.
Yeah, but it was only 8 minutes. They don't want to hear about your jokes, your joke about a ball. It's
but
Aspen.
My balls.
It's Aspen.
Yeah. Well, I did it.
And it didn't work.
Didn't really work out, but it didn't matter.
You're still you.
We're still here.
We're still here
in a fucking car doing a podcast. It's worked out great for both of us. Come on. We've made the right decisions.
We're trying to get everybody but ourselves gigs. You're like, I'm terrible, you know? It's like that when you pass it on. You're like, you should hire Kevin Brennan. Like, we'll bring him in. He's great. But
Kevin Brennan comes in and he's like, you got to get my friend.
You
got to
get this other guy. Now, the fucked up thing was she did like me. She must have liked me because she brought me in for something else. So it wasn't like she was like, oh, we don't
well,
like. Like she said she liked me.
She's the coolest cast.
No, I would have nailed it. Yeah, she is cool. I would have nailed it. Plus, if they give me the role, but I don't. Judd Apatow don't like me.
Oh, he doesn't like you?
I mean, he don't really know me, but like he works at the Cellar sometimes. And one time I did a joke that was like, whatever. I already told it on my podcast.
Oh, you told the Apatow story? Okay.
Yeah, but it's not a big story. But basically, I think he just don't like me. So, I mean, people don't like me in general. So.
Yeah, do you ever wonder, like, do you ever think you're your worst enemy? Is that like?
I'm not my worst enemy. I'm just saying people.
It's a question.
I'm just saying people don't like me. So.
And you've nothing to do with that. It's absolutely.
No, it's like, the thing was, I used to try to overcome it. It's like a guy with one ball trying to have two balls. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do it. I can't fucking do it. I try.
But I could put in a fake ball. I could fake it to make it.
No, but
you
I can't.
Fucking fake being happy for 5 minutes.
Yeah, I could fake it, but it would still, people would, I would still lose to a guy who was genuinely Adam Hilly. You know what I mean? Like, Adam Hill is always going to win over me because he's the real deal. He's an upbeat guy, even though he's a shit comic.
Wow.
He's an upbeat guy.
That's you saying that. I would stick up for Adam because I think he's good. But
then I saw him and he came to the Cellar when he was passing through town on his.
Recently, he was there. I heard.
Yeah, he was on his way to Boring USA, and so he stopped here first, and I couldn't even watch him. But I know he's a good guy. He's a nice guy. And then when I was in Edinburgh, he was when I was in Melbourne, he hosts a show down there, like on a Saturday night, him and this other guy.
Jason Byrne.
Yeah, Jason Byrne. Everybody's Byrne down there, right? Everybody in
Ed
Ireland.
Ed Byrne and Jason Byrne. That's
Ed
two.
Ed Byrne, Jason Byrne. That's,
that's two.
That's
anyway.
enough for me. Anyway, so.
Jason's been on the podcast. He was very funny, just in case you're about to
rip
it to
him. Oh, I know Jason. Do I know Jason Byrne?
Redheaded guy. Ed Byrne. You know Ed Byrne. You know Ed Byrne.
Anyway, so they were hosting, and that was my last night there, and they brought me up like what they were doing was they were bringing in like an American, and he would like headline I had to do like long sets every night. I was bombing, so then I'm like, okay, now I got to do 10 minutes, and I will go better. But again, I gotta go on last. It's like,
yeah,
it's
but
like
that
I'm
show was all about the hosts. I mean, really,
I know, but I'm like, I'm not from here. Why am I the fucking? They act like the people in Australia. They don't get the jokes. They don't get my jokes. You know, I have fans from the podcast in Australia now, but this is not jokes. This is me fucking talking. You know what I mean? I'm not doing setup punchline where maybe they don't get the punchline because they don't fucking, like I was telling the other night with you and your buddy, where I said they don't know fucking Oprah Winfrey in Scotland. So I'm like, I didn't know that. I thought everybody had to know for Winfrey, but like I said, they knew George Foreman because of his fucking grill. They don't even know him from his boxing. They know him from his grill. They're like, oh, he used to box? We did not know that because they're on top of their fucking they're on top of their game.
It's not even true. It's not even true, though.
What?
I was distracted because you were knocking on the window at a passerby. So
yeah, I had a knock on the window.
It distracted me. But they do know George Foreman for more than the grill, and they know Oprah Winfrey. You just had a bad experience.
No, I asked the comic there. I said, you guys, the joke bomb, I said, you guys, I asked the comic after the show backstage. I go, oh, you guys don't know Oprah Winfrey? And they go, nah. They go, I guess he knew who she was because comics are world travelers. But he's like, yeah, we don't really know.
Yeah, I guess they didn't get the reference, you know.
No, but it's like, that's the thing. Like, if for a split second they don't know exactly if Oprah's, even if you know Oprah, maybe you don't know Oprah's backstory, you know. Like, I didn't do a Stedman joke. I just did a fucking Oprah.
Who's Stedman, the producer?
No, Stedman is her. Exactly. Who's Stedman? You're a fucking idiot, too. Stedman is her longtime boyfriend.
Oh, I don't fucking know who Oprah's
exactly.
boyfriend is.
Everybody in America knows who Stedman is. You don't even know. All you need to say is Stedman. And then people go, that's Oprah's boyfriend. You don't have to say Oprah. Just go ask somebody on the street, who's Stedman? And they'll go, Oprah's boyfriend.
Well, I'll tell you right now, man, there is nobody in the world as passionate about fucking Stedman as you.
No, but I mean, seriously, like, it's just frustrating. People got like jokes, because everybody said like jokes travel.
But don't you
jokes
think-
don't travel. Jokes don't travel. Unless you're talking about your balls, because everybody's got balls.
Everybody knows balls.
Everybody knows people that have balls. So it's like, if a guy has one ball, they know you're supposed to have two balls. So what happened to your balls, though?
I had testicular cancer. I had to get rid of one.
At what age?
24.
So how'd you find out? You were coughing blood?
Armstrong? No, Lance Armstrong was coughing blood because he ignored it for so fucking long. It traveled
he's
around.
A real man.
He's a real man who just ignored his fucking...
He thought he had saddle sores from riding the bike all the time.
You can't say, I guess, but I would assume that he probably thought all these fucking drugs I'm taking are causing me to cough up blood.
Yeah,
it's nothing to do with the fucking
lump. It's about winning. We call it winning here in the United States.
Yeah, we also call it dying when you fucking ignore his cancer as long as
he made some. He made some questions.
But no, I had a lump. I had a lump on my left testicle, which I ignored for 3 months.
You know what's funny? You bring that up because the other day I was washing my balls, and I thought I felt like I'm like, is that a lump? And then I'm like, I don't even want to know.
That's exactly.
I don't want to know because I'm like, and then I was like, and then at the very, very end when I rinsed everything off, I go, let me just check just out of curiosity because I'm like, I should check because the only reason I check is because. My dad had three balls, and he had one taken out at some point. He had surgery. I know he had ball surgery.
Was it an undescended testicle?
I didn't go to med school. Anyway, I know that I think they had too many balls. He had 10 kids, so I could see him having three or four balls.
He needed it.
He had overtime balls, working balls
overtime.
Your dad
had 10 kids?
Yeah, I'm one of 10.
Wow.
Irish.
But anyway,
it's called Irish.
Yeah. Well,
I was really afraid to check because I'm like, if I check, because I knew I couldn't go to the doctor that night. So if I had to do a set and I'd be worried about all mine, I got fucking ball cancer.
That is exactly what I thought. I'll just fucking never touch that again. But the good news for you is it's a young man's cancer mostly. So it would be very, very rare for a man of your advanced age to be experiencing testicular cancer. You have to worry about
it. Everyone goes to fucking Wikipedia now. So
you have
all
to
your
worry.
Fans.
Unfortunately, the thing you need to worry about now is your prostate, which I'm sure you're aware
of. I check it every
of.
Day. Yeah. And if I can't reach, I have a gal reach for
you
me.
Have a gal?
No, that's a joke. But like my I actually do a joke in my act where I switch to a I switched my doctor from a man to a woman because I'm at the age.
Because you know you're getting the prostate exam.
No, because the first time I had it done, my doctor was a man and he checked my prostate. It was uncomfortable. It was awkward. So I'm like, why switch to a woman doctor? Because I lived in California for a while and a lot of doctors out there are women, and they're good doctors. So I'm like, I switched to a woman doctor. She checked my prostate. And she did a good job because I came when she did it. You know, that's the joke. But I switched to a woman doctor and she did a really good job.
Now the question
they have smaller fingers. They have smaller fingers.
Yeah, it's better to have a female doctor check your prostate.
Plus, when you're at an age now,
it's invasive.
Yeah, and also when you get to an age, certain age, you don't want a man fucking touching you. Like, if you're married, you want a woman touching you for any reason, even if you're getting a fucking parking ticket. You know what I mean? And plus, when a man of your, like, if you're young and a doctor, your doctor's a man, you're not, you're just a kid. But when you're a man and your doctor's a man and you're like the same age, it's fucking awkward, man.
Well, it's awkward when their finger is in your ass. Yeah,
yeah, it's almost like jail. It's almost like a fucking like your buddies, you know? Like, hey, would you mind?
Now, how many podcasts have in the middle of them the moment where you go, do I need to put money in the meter, or is this guy just going to pass us because we're sitting in the car? Because he is giving a ticket to the car in front of us, and I guess I need to put money in the meter.
No, I think he knows you'll just skadoodle.
I hope so, because I don't want to get out now in the middle of the podcast and put money in the meter.
Yeah, I'll ask him. I'll roll the window down. And
yeah,
well,
yeah, but then there's probably some like legality about recording.
No, my wife used to do. She was a meter maid, and when we lived in Ocean City, New Jersey, and once they start it, they can't stop.
Yeah,
it,
they can't stop. That's
but if you're not, but if that's all I ask him, can we move? And because we're taping something, I'll just pretend like we're involved with Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
Because he does his show in a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's kind of like...
Do you get that? You know who Jerry Seinfeld is?
We know who Jerry Seinfeld is in Ireland.
Okay.
So, yeah, because...
No, that was Scotland, but Ireland's the same way. You guys don't even have a...
Honestly, man,
You guys don't even have TV? Yeah, you just used
Etch-A-Sketch? Yeah, we don't have TV, man. We have Etch-A-Sketch, yeah. All our programs are on Etch-A-Sketch. But, you know, I think, to be honest, there's like a whole sect of Irish people that love misery.
Yeah.
And I really think that I could help you to break your, like, international hoodoo. You know, I could help you break
No, if I was going to Ireland, I think I even on the name of my podcast alone, I could draw in
I
Ireland.
Think so, yeah. Misery Loves Company.
Misery Loves Company, I think I would just from that. If I was Irish and they would go, yeah.
First they tell you not Irish, they tell you American.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about
that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But I go, listen, I'm 1 of 10, so I'm more Irish than you pieces of shit. You know what I mean? So I don't fuck my sister on Saturday, but I'm 1 of 10. That's pretty fucking Irish.
Yeah, 1 of 10 is incredible.
And both my parents are Irish. They're both of Irish descent. My stomach looks like the bottom
of your name is Kevin Brennan.
Yeah, my stomach looks like the bottom of a fucking fish. It's sickly white. Like, my face has color, but the rest of my body.
All right, so now we have to deal with this guy, so...
Can we move, or are we going to get it? Can we sit here, or are you going to give us a ticket?
No, it's okay. You're moving, eh?
Huh? Well, yeah, we're just recording something at the moment.
We're recording something. All right, thank you.
No, thanks. We got to wait with it. Well...
I should have told him I know Aziz.
You're such a dick.
No, because he's of Indian descent.
Yeah.
No, like, I always wonder
Russell,
how these guys...
I don't know. Is Aziz the one or Russell Peters?
I don't know, probably either one. Yeah. I would have said Aziz, and you would have made it more international. Either way, it's a home run. But let me ask you this before I forget. So you do a joke in your act about you from here, but then you had a drinking problem.
Yeah.
And your parents sent you to Ireland to solve your drinking problem.
Yeah, 50, like, sort of not 100% accurate.
Okay.
But it's a funny
you
way to...
You stretched the truth.
Well, I stretched the truth in that I flunked out of St. Francis Prep in Queens. And
so you were born here and you're raised here.
Raised here, yeah. I'm a Queens kid.
Yeah.
My mother's still in Queens.
What part?
Flushing.
Oh, okay.
Border Flushing and Bayside.
Yeah, I used to live out there. It's not a bad neighborhood.
For growing up as a kid, it's fine. You know,
yeah,
it's semi-suburban.
You get to go into the city. You get to take the train with your buddies.
Semi-suburban.
And then also you do develop a drinking problem and your parents don't even know it, right?
Yeah, started drinking at 12 and got kicked out of school at 14 and then went to boarding school in Ireland.
So, wait, why are you drinking at 12? You were stressed out about your...
Nah, just whatever. I was just like the youngest of the crew of guys that I hung out with.
So you guys were like the Westies and you were like committing crimes?
Yeah, I think
you would
the
get
Westies,
drunk and then...
I think the Westies would be a slight exaggeration. We were like the 188th Street kids that...
No, but it was like that's
knew
what
each other because we lived in close proximity.
Yeah, but that was like the West... People probably don't know Westies are, but they were like the West Side of Manhattan, like in the 40s. Now it's all gentrified, but it's like these Irish gangs used to... You know, like, I guess that's where George Carlin grew up.
George Carlin grew up in that neighborhood. I actually was one of my best friends growing up. His aunt was married to Mickey Featherstone, coincidentally enough, since you're mentioning the Westies.
Who's Mickey Featherstone?
One of the famous Westies. You don't know Mickey Featherstone? Fucking, you talk to an Irish American, they know fucking Mickey Featherstone. He's like the fucking Stedman. He's the Stedman.
I know you're going to bring up Stedman, because if you didn't, I was going to bring up Stedman. You don't know Mickey Featherstone, but you know Stedman. I know who. Even when you said Mickey Featherstone, I could figure out who
State
he was.
State of Grace.
But,
he's like the, you know,
yeah,
State
yeah.
of Grace. Is
oh,
of
yeah.
Grace.
I never saw that movie, but he was really good. What was that actor's name?
Was it Mickey Rourke, no?
No, but he was the guy who was in, he's like always plays like drug addicts and shit.
It wasn't Mickey Rourke, no?
No, he might have been in it, but it was, I remember the guy, no, I think Sean Penn was
in
it.
Oh, No, Gary Oldman.
Yeah,
right?
Gary Oldman. He's always plays these fucking dark fucking dudes, and he's always great. Like True Romance. You ever see True Romance?
Yeah. Oh, he plays the drug addict in the house,
my God,
right?
He's so fucking.
The guy.
I mean, he's probably like that in real life because no one's that good an actor to be fucking that. But
he's
I'd like
British,
to hang
right?
out with him. I think he is British, but anyway.
But he's
ever
only playing a miserable bastard, so you might not connect in real life.
I don't believe in acting. I don't believe in it. I believe like they get somebody who's like that, and then they go, just be like yourself, because why not? Why get a guy who's going to be an upbeat guy to play a drug fucking dealer who's going to be terror and hang around? You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
You know what I do hate? When they have like British actors, like Helen Mirren, she won the fucking Oscar for playing the Queen. It's like, is that really hard for her to play the Queen? She looks like the Queen. She talks like the Queen. Her probably fucking British cunt smells like the Queen's British cunt. Because they probably douche the same way because they're both British. So I'm saying let her play a crack whore from the west side of Manhattan. See what she does with that. Then call me. Call me up, Helen.
Yeah, but then Charlize Theron plays fucking Monster. And everyone goes, why are you getting a hot girl to play, this monster? Why don't you get somebody that looks like that? You know, so you can't win.
Yeah, you can't
you
win.
You can't
and
win
that's
in Hollywood.
We can't. That's what we're saying. That's why I didn't get that role as the warm-up guy who had a relationship with Sarah Silverman. You can't win. I wonder who I gave it to. Told the guy.
There's only like five things mentioned on your Wikipedia, and one of them is that Sarah Silver mentioned in her memoir
I didn't put that in.
Lost her virginity with
you. I know.
She didn't say.
You're like the new Lenny. Lenny's like, your Wikipedia page is so short. I'm like, Lenny, you don't even have one. You have no. He goes, I don't want one. I go, you don't want anything, right? That's your whole out for having a complete fucking debacle of a showbiz career. Like, I don't want that. I don't want it. Everyone wants. First of all, if you don't have a Wikipedia page, then you're in bad shape. If you're in show business,
I fucking hate these people that pretend that they don't want. They don't want things. It's like you're fucking dying inside. Don't
fucking
pretend.
Right. No, here's my thing. I lived in California for a couple of years. I realized everybody in California is upbeat. And it's all a bunch of bullshit, and they're all fucking lying. They say one thing to your face, and then as soon as they get in their car, they either forget you or they go, I'm never going to fucking hire that motherfucker.
I can't handle the incessant American positivity of the way the industry deal with you here.
No, because it's part of it, because it is here too, but more in California where like it's sunny every day and you have to have a good attitude and you got to be positive. And it's like,
Before I knew, like after Aspen, despite the fact that we talked about it negatively, after Aspen, I got some heat, loads of meetings in LA.
Yeah.
And I fucking swear to God, I walked out of every meeting being like, holy shit, I'm going to be fucking huge, because nobody told me that. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, I was just left fucking crying in a corner going, what happened to all my...
With your one ball in your hand?
Yeah, with my one ball in my hand. Literally, a guy at a fucking meeting was like, maybe we could do a sitcom about you.
Then as soon as you leave, like the callback on the Etch-A-Sketch, as soon as you leave, literally an Etch-A-Sketch, and you're just a distant memory. They don't give two fucks. That's the game. That's the fucking game. Like, I was doing a Nick Swartzen. He's big in this country. He's like friends of Adam Sandler, but he's been in a lot of shows and whatever. But anyway, he was like, he would, I saw him one time at the Improv on Melrose. So he's like, he gave me an idea. He goes, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? You know? And then I tried to do it. And then, where he had to help me do something. And then he just ghosted me. When I texted him, he just fucking ghosted me. It's like,
and it was his idea.
Yeah, he suggested it. So I'm like, and we're friends. But when we're here, we're friends. Because when you're at the Comedy Cellar, like, he's friends because he's not from here. It's like more my turf. He used to live here, but now he's lived in there, West Coast, for a long time. But anyway, so then once it's done, he wouldn't, like, it was like it never happened. So it's fucking creepy. So when I came back here, when I moved back here, I'm like, fuck it. I got nothing to lose. And then I just started talking shit. And then people like it because everyone in showbiz is like this fake, like, I think he's great. I think he's terrific. Where I'll go like, he sucks. He sucks. That guy sucks. He sucks a big bag of dicks. He's a fucking liar. Whatever. Like, I'm not going to say that about you. I know you're waiting for me to go.
Wait till I leave. be L.A. about it. Wait till I leave, and then you can be like, this guy is so full of shit.
No, I liked you. I wouldn't be sitting in a car with you. I mean, at least we're in front of people, so.
Well, it's the Irish-American thing, I guess.
I could get out,
We were joking about that before, about how, like, Oh, we're talking about Indian guys, the confidence of these Indian guys, and that their parents must have instilled some sort of, like, belief in themselves, as opposed to the Irish-American parents that are just like, you're a piece of shit or whatever, this...
Yeah, and I think that it's that you know, the Jews do that too, not to be anti-Semitic on Rosh Hashanah, but the Jews do that too, where like they instill their kids a lot of confidence and they tell them how great they are, just so they're kind of prepared for the, I don't know if they over-prepare them so they're delusional, but in any case, it's better than the Irish where it's like, you're a piece of shit, you know, like the fact that my dad didn't talk to me about like sexual reproduction. It's like, it's so ridiculous.
Well, especially when you're surrounded by
children.
The repercussions.
Yeah, what the fuck, man? Like, seriously, like, take fucking 10 minutes out of your day. Like, I'm so close to my kids because, you know, like, especially when I was in LA, my wife worked, so I was more like a stay-at-home dad
during the day, right?
And it was fucking terrible, but mostly it was terrible because I wasn't doing stand-up really out there, so I couldn't even vent when the day was over. Like now,
outlet.
Yeah, now even if something happens, I can fucking. I could go vent. So, and that's one of the reasons why we moved back, because there was like Comedy Cellar was doing two rooms and it was too much to like fucking give up, to up on, you know? Yeah. So anyway, you know, even now, I can't wait to tell my son about like how the fucking.
How old
like
are
how
kids?
Women are. My son's four.
Oh. Like, I got. You got to have some patience.
No, like when he's six, I'm going to be like these bitches. I'm gonna go right to it. No, but the fact that my dad wouldn't just relish the opportunity to just fucking. But the Irish are so. Do you ever see Pope at Greenwich Village?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where the guy, the fucking.
I haven't seen it in like
20
years.
The old guy was helping them break into the place. He was talking about the difference between the Italians and the Irish. He goes. These. They're talking about Mickey Rourke and what was the other guy's name? Oh, he's fucking
Eric Roberts.
Yeah, Eric Roberts. So they were, they were like second cousins, and somebody goes, they're like brothers. He goes, yeah, the Italian. He goes second cousins to the Italians are like identical twins. The Irish, they, you know what I mean? The Irish, you could be identical twins and don't even you know what
you
I mean?
Don't talk to each other.
Yeah, there's it's true though. My dad's from a big family, like all kinds of like not getting alongs in the family. Our family's 1 to 10. We don't get along. Like there's certain cliques that get along, but they're movable parts. You know what I mean? Like I'll find out my brother Tom is now friends with my sister Sheila, and for a while, like you know, they weren't even talking. Sheila said to Tom at one point, "You're dead to me." Like not even being facetious, not even drunk at Thanksgiving. Ugh. Like you're dead to me, and now they're friends again. So there's always like interchangeable. But we're not a warm group, yeah. You know. And that's why my wife's Hispanic, and they're you know my
they're
wife
hugging and
yeah they're
touching.
Very emotional. You know, I'm like a fucking cop, and my wife's a prostitute. She's not gonna like me saying this, and she listens. No, but that was like the old joke where all the guys on the Bronx. Well, you know, they were cops, and then they marry the hot Latin girl that they maybe arrested. Maybe not for prostitution, maybe for shoplifting. Anyway, the point is that, but they hide it. They don't like Irish women. Plus, Hispanic women are sexier anyway. You know.
Yeah, well, I guess opposites attract.
Yeah, and they got the beautiful skin, and they're curvier. You know, the Irish women, she's got to be a 10, and you still like she's.
Or
a little
maybe
bit.
It's just the fucking demographics of the Bronx that the Irish and the Latinos ended up next to each other.
Yeah, but also, I'm saying Irish women are not good looking as a group.
Oh, Jesus.
But here's my point. I should be huge in fucking Ireland because
until 5 seconds ago, I think it was going to happen.
No, but I'm not going to draw with the women. I don't give a fuck. It's the guys I want to draw.
You want to draw with the guys?
No, because they're the guys that are going to fucking get me because I'm miserable. But I'm trying to be funny about it. Like I've given up. That's like the classic Irish personality anyway. Guys just sit at a bar. Given up, and he just talks shit about everything, right?
Dude, you gotta fucking write. Have you written the one-man show called I've Given Up? And that because you're starting to sound like Rodney Dangerfield. You don't even realize. It's like, what am I gonna do? I've given up.
I know. I love it. It's so refreshing. I've never felt so. People go, how can you stand? I go, I've never felt better. I'm not. I've just resigned myself to the fact that like nothing's ever gonna work out. You know.
You gotta surrender to win, man.
Yeah.
You
gotta
like
surrender.
AA.
It's exactly what it is. I'm not gonna fight my own fucking demons. I'm not gonna pretend. No, but here's the thing. Like when I see I follow Dom Irrera on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
On Twitter, you know, and he's always going
surrendered?
No, he's always going to Ireland, yeah. And he's always doing these fucking international.
Great. We love him over there.
No, I love him over there, but I'm saying, like, bring me 1 year. Is that going to kill them? Like, would it kill them? Like, they must all know Dom Irera's act by now, right? So bring me 1 year and fucking have, I'm like the miserable Irish guy, and I'll just fucking moan and groan. Even if they don't like my jokes, they'll just like the fact that I'm miserable. And I can do a lot of radio or whatever you guys use for ham radio or whatever the fuck you guys are up to.
No, everyone has access to a cord, which they can put, they could put the can to their ear and listen to what international acts are coming their way. Listen, let's just put it out
there
now.
Do what you can. You almost got me a gig where I could have got my SAG card.
Look, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. We're going to find a sponsor. And because we've now...
Oh, I got to get a sponsor?
No, listen. Will you let me finish the fucking sentence? I want to get a sponsor because we've now done one sort of Misery Loves Company / Des Bishop podcast together. The next time we do it together, it's going to be in fucking Ireland in front of an audience.
All right.
And, you know, because Lenny doesn't want to go on the road, so we're going to fucking trump that shit.
Well, wait, you do them live normally?
No, I've never done it live, but I want to because you're so, you know, you're so
I should be so big over there.
You're into the concept.
And plus, I'm curious, they only have a... If you do something on TV, it's probably a big deal because they probably only have 2 or 3 channels, right? No, I'm saying like back in the old days when they only had 3 channels, like if you were on The Tonight Show, it was a big deal.
Yeah,
because,
well, back in
but
the
now
day,
they have like 100 channels or 1,000 or whatever.
But in
Ireland, you guys don't, you can't have that many, right?
When I first broke out, there wasn't as, well, it was really more for the internet. Ireland had access to all the UK channels too. So all joking aside, there was plenty of channels. However, before the internet gave people a lot more options, they tended to watch only a few of, there was only 3 Irish channels at the time.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. So how big are you in, can you compare yourself to somebody here? Like how big are you in Ireland?
Well, at my peak, I mean, I can't say I'm like peaked out now, but.
What do you mean? How are you? You peaked and you're down, you're going downhill?
Well, no, but it's just, you know, the way there's just like a period of time where it's insane.
And what made you go over to peak in Ireland?
You can't go forever, can you?
No, what made you peak? Did you do something that peaked?
The first series I made about living on minimum wage.
Oh.
So I lived on minimum wage for 4 months.
As a show?
As a documentary, but the documentary had stand-up as the narration rather than narration. What could you compare?
No, but you didn't need the job. You just did it to take it?
No. It was for a TV show.
Like, so you're like basically like undercover boss.
It's more like sort of Morgan Spurlock-ish.
Oh.
But it was before Super Size Me, so it wasn't inspired by what Morgan Spurlock does. But it had that sort of 1 month, one job, live on the money. 1 month, another job, live on the money. And then that became...
Whose idea was it?
A producer who was working in RTE from Canada who had held on to the idea from her time of working in the UK, and then she liked me and she gave me the idea.
Oh.
But it was based on a book called Nickel and Dimed.
And where did you...
The first job was in a kebab shop called Abracababra. which
a kebab? A kebab.
A kebab shop called Abracababra.
Is it kebab or kebab?
What way do I say it?
You say kebab.
I guess I say
Abracadabra?
The Irish way.
Abracababra. Well, it makes more sense because you said abracadabra or whatever.
Yeah, but abracababra.
No, they call it kebab here.
Yeah, we call it kebab, all right?
Look, it's like just a stick with food on it, with meat on it.
Well, no, actually, it's like a pita bread full of meat.
Oh, kebab, yeah. I don't even have it right. What am I thinking with the stick?
Shish kebab, yeah. That's a shish. But anyway.
I always get the wrong order. I come home, I'm like, what the fuck?
Where's the fucking stick?
They fucked up my order again. It's always somebody else's fault. Oh, my God.
Well, in Ireland, you don't get the option of the stick. So I think, to be honest.
Because you'll stab your brother, right? They can't give the fuck. It's a deadly weapon with a drunk fucking guy. Wait, the cops? Do the cops have guns
no,
in Ireland?
No guns. No
what
guns.
How do you arrest somebody?
I don't know. They just do it. But there's no guns.
But the Irish, the British, there's no guns in the UK.
There's no gun. The police don't have guns in the UK or in Ireland. And if you ever want to die in your ass in Ireland, say it's great to be in the UK, and that will be the end of you.
Why?
Even Chris Rock had a problem where he accidentally sort of included Ireland in the UK.
Oh, really? Yeah. They still hate the Irish?
No, because the UK is not, Ireland is not part of the United Kingdom. They fought a war to not be part of it.
Oh, I thought it was still, because it was part of the island, was automatically part of it.
No, that's like the British Isles, which the Irish people don't like that term either. The British Isles.
So, I don't even hear that anymore. But here's the point. So they don't have guns, but do they have fast cars? Or they
have cars. There is a special unit that has guns that deal with major gun
terrorism
situations.
But they have to call them in?
Yeah.
Like a SWAT team?
I think they're active, sir. I don't know. There's a name for them.
That's interesting. It seems. Who would want to be a cop if you can't shoot people?
But then there's not a lot of cops getting shot because not as many guns in society.
No,
but that's
I get that. But you think, like, how are you something more than a regular guy if you don't have a gun?
Well, that is an interesting essay on authority, if you want to write it. Why does the guy in the uniform get more respect?
But they don't get more respect, do
but
they?
But they do.
In the UK?
People still see a cop car, and they still
slow
down.
Oh, a cop car? That's a cop car, but I'm saying like just a cop, because he can give you a ticket, but...
Well, I guess they're empowered by the fact that they have access to using the law against you.
Yeah, are they physically fit at least?
Yeah, they're physically, they can deal with a situation, and they can put you in jail. That's
no, but they like...
I can't put somebody else in jail.
Yeah, right. But I'm saying like the cops here, they're fat, but they have guns, so that kind of evens itself out.
Well, I guess when you don't have a gun, you just try not to get too fat.
No, because you might have to actually outmaneuver somebody.
Yeah, you might have to run, or you might have to beat somebody up.
To beat somebody up.
Yeah.
That's why the one like I hate to make jokes about the cops shooting black guys, but the one guy in Missouri, I don't know where it was, but it was right when the first like Missouri and the guy when the guy was running from the cop and the cop just shot him right in the back. But he was a big fat guy. The guy
cop
shot,
was fat.
No, the guy who was running slow because he was overweight. He wasn't going to get far.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you shooting the guy for?
Yeah, I mean,
like just you could almost walk quickly and catch the guy. You know what I mean? So how fucking lazy do you have to be? Like, you know what? I'm sick of this. Kevin, then it's like a video game where you're like, you know what? I'm just gonna. It's just it was that was a weird one. That was a weird one where I was like, well, what the fuck was that? And I asked my friend who's a cop. He goes, I go, what the fuck was that? He goes, well, sometimes I think people wake up and they go, I think I'm just gonna shoot somebody today.
Really?
Like they've had it. You know, like they've had, like sometimes where you realize a comic, you're like, I'm definitely gonna bomb tonight. Like one of my shows I'm gonna bomb.
Yeah.
You just feel a bomb coming on, like a dog can smell an earthquake.
I've given up. But see, that's why it's so much safer in your situation, where when you give up you get funnier. When a cop gives up, a black guy dies.
No, listen, I wouldn't even recommend, people think I'm like walking a slippery slope, and maybe I am, but like I wouldn't even recommend giving up as a younger guy, because then you look like you have mental problems, you know what I mean? But like when you're married, and when, like you say, Ronnie Dangerfield, like everyone kind of can relate to the guy. Well, he had the I don't get no respect, which is like a great hook, because everybody thinks they get no respect.
But
you know,
I like,
I mean,
the hook that we came up with before for you. What was it again?
I don't know. I've given up. No, I think it was I've given up.
Yeah, I've given up. It doesn't matter. I've given up.
Yeah, I've given up. No, but the point is that, like, I had a way to I'm genuinely giving up on some point, because like people go like, well, what if your podcast blows up and you become like more popular? It's like, yeah, but I'll still be married with kids, and they'll still make me miserable. So like even if I become like something, I'll never have my Charlie Sheen years with like coke and hookers and Hollywood, the Hollywood parties. Like,
yeah,
I'll never have that.
You did all that already with no money.
No, I never did it. So I'm saying, so even if things were good, they wouldn't be so good, because I still have my kids, my fucking crying kids. Like, when I left the house today, my son was like, my dad's like, Dad, shut up, Dad. Like, I didn't even say anything.
Your kids.
Yeah, he's four. He goes, Dad, shut up. I came out of the bathroom. He goes, Dad, shut up. I didn't even say anything yet. So that's what I'm saying. So when you have kids, you're like, you can only get so happy when you have kids. So that's my point. So now,
but I'm just wondering if
I genuinely gave up. I'm saying, as a young person, don't give up, but definitely put a Vaseline in your upper lip if you're going on TV. That's my tip.
But listen, if your kid is fucking for no reason just telling you to shut up, you think perhaps he's been absorbing a certain type of behavior from his father?
Maybe, but he curses up a storm.
How many kids have you got?
Two.
Four.
My daughter's
one.
Eight.
Oh,
and,
right, okay.
And he, my son, curses like, he's like, this fucking shit. Like, I mean, like, you, if it's,
but if you laugh, your wife gets angry, right?
No, well, sometimes I'll be like, Daniel. I'm not supposed to say his name. Raphael. Raphael, why do you talk like that? So even my daughter's like, the other day he goes, right in the asshole. And who says asshole? So my daughter goes, Raphael, that's not the right word. She goes, that's not the right word. So then I'm like, I'm trying not to laugh. So then I'm like, but the thing is, you don't want to bring attention to it because then he knows the word has power. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. So where the fuck did he learn right in the asshole?
I don't know.
What's
but
that
it's,
from? That's from a movie or something.
It's really funny. No, you know what it is? They watch YouTube and then they watch YouTube where sometimes they watch YouTube videos with superheroes. But they're grown-ups, like, narrating it grown-ups, like, fighting another grown-up. So, but they don't – that's why YouTube's such a joke, because there's no
filter.
No restriction. There's nobody monitoring anything.
Yeah.
So it's good if you want to watch porn, but for, like, your kids, you know. So whatever.
Yes. Did he use it in the right context?
Yeah, like something like – something like I'm gonna kick you in the asshole or something like that. Where you're like, you just like you fight the you have to like literally bite
you
your lip
stop,
so you don't
yeah.
so you won't laugh. But then you go Daniel, because even my daughter, when my daughter brings it up, I have to like back her up when she's like, Daniel, that's not a good word for you. I go, yeah, that's not a good word. It's a good one, you know.
I make money talking
like
that.
Yeah, leave it into the hands of a professional.
Do you do any material about your kids? Do you consider that sort of like too
no,
hacky?
No, I do it.
I love it. Like, I hate when people say, oh, this guy had kids and they started doing jokes about it. It's like so hacky, because I fucking love it.
No, my jokes are like pretty rough. I mean, I think Louis helped with that, because in the past it was always like, you know, you had to be like, make the jokes like, I'm a good dad. And
kids say the darndest things.
Yeah, I'm a good dad, and my kids are cute, like sitcom kids. And
yeah.
And Ray Romano had a lot of jokes like that, and I helped him because he got a show. But with Louis was just like, he used to do jokes about it in his act where it was like, you know, I hate my kids. And even sometimes before I had my kids, I would watch him do jokes. I was like, wow, that's pretty rough, you know, some of the shit he would say about his kids. Like, nothing mean, but mean in the context of, like,
if his kids heard it, you would think it would not.
Yeah, and it was kind of new to be that mean, you know.
Right, yeah.
But now that's more of like a trend where
now that meanness is mainstream and you're fucking on it.
Yeah, I know. No, but even I see women comics are like, I'm the worst mom. They even saying,
well, now Bad Moms is a fucking movie.
Did it come out? I know I saw a thing for it. But that's the new thing where, like, it's a competition to be how bad a mom you are and how bad a dad you are. But as a dad, it's easier because you don't really have to be, like, as a mom, they still expect you to be, like, kind of good. Whereas a dad, you just have to be, like, around, and then you're a good dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I also think it's generational, because I think parents, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I think parents feel the sacrifice more nowadays because they maybe had freedom for longer. So now it's just,
yeah,
like,
that's true.
They're feeling this thing of, like, you fucking... Like, they're not articulating it to their kids, but they're going,
they're
like,
very
you
frustrated.
Fucking did this to me.
No, they are. You know what it is? Because it's true what you said. They, like, my parents had no life before they had, like, my dad didn't have an apartment when they got married. My mom lived with her parents. So, you know what I mean? So they go right from their parents' house to their own house,
To being parents.
So they don't have a single life. So they go from, like, one form of misery to another form of misery, you know? But now people they get married later, so they have a better time, and then they have these kids and they're like, what the fuck? So I keep telling Lenny, because he wants to have kids, I go, good luck. I go, because you can't be ready for it. Mentally, you can't be ready for it. But also another problem is the phone. So everybody has a phone. And back in the day, there was no Facebook and no Twitter or whatever, or Instagram. So you don't see your friends having a good, you didn't see your friends having a good time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So now
yeah.
you're like, oh, my God, you see people like on vacation and they don't have kids or they're like, well, if you go to a park, every mom's on her phone because they don't want to be, they don't, their kids are fucking boring. Kids are fucking boring. And your phone is probably not boring, so they'll watch their fucking phone.
But don't
you,
you also think that people are trying to fucking live a, like some sort of life with their kids that's not actually possible? Like, they're bringing their kids to cafes, they're bringing their kids to, like, they're still trying to.
Yeah.
And it's just, they don't match.
They
you
don't match at all.
You gotta just accept that you're.
You gotta accept it. You gotta accept the misery. And here's the thing.
That's your life lesson.
No, I mean, seriously, like, you can fight all you want, but just at some point, if you lower your expectations, you're going to have a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you expect it to be miserable, then if it's not like 100% miserable, be like, that wasn't so bad.
You got to accept the misery. You got to take it right in the asshole.
Yeah, you got to take it right. So when I was in L.A., all the dads in L.A., you know, on the weekends, they'd all be, like, at their fucking, at this, like, I live in Santa Monica, which is, like, the trendy. I didn't live in Santa Monica, but sometimes we'd go to this park in Santa Monica. But all the dads would have, like, the skinny jeans on and the cool hair. I go, you're fucking done. You can pretend all you want that you're still cool, that you're still happening. You're fucking done.
I see it all
and
the
time. And they can fight it all they want, but they're done. They're done. Once you have kids and you're married, like, you can pretend you're cool. You can pretend, like, you got shit going on, but you're a fucking loser, and just enjoy it, you know?
I was driving down the West Side Highway. I was in Tribeca, and I saw three fucking dads with their kids all like that walking across the street. I was like, so I was with my little cousin, and she was like, what's over there? I was like, there's got to be some fucking playground where all these dads are going to drop their kids to play together and then look at each other and go, why the fuck did we do this?
Yeah, because they could be like, I don't know what they'd be doing, but it's better. And another thing is, like kids want to play with, like, I love my kids, but they want to play with toys. I don't want to play with their fucking toys. You know what I mean? Like, even when I'm at home, they're like, Dad, get off your phone. I'm like, I'm fucking working. I almost said the N-word. I'm fucking working. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I might be tweeting. I might be answering an email. But they want to play. They want me to play with their fucking toys. I'm like, I don't want to play with your fucking toys, you know? Like, I'm over it. I've been over it, your fucking toys, you know? But I love them. But, like, it's like, another thing is, we didn't, like, I'm one of 10. So we had each other, and we had the neighbors. They all had big families. So we didn't rely on our parents. Like, I never did shit with my dad. Like, I didn't play with my, if I said to my dad, Dad, let's play with my toys, he would have kicked me right into my fucking face, you know what I mean, or something. He would just laugh.
I say that all the time. Like, sometimes I wish I was a parent in the 70s, because my mother would be like, get out of the house, and we would fucking stay out for 5 hours.
And she didn't care where you went.
Yeah, didn't
she
worry
didn't care.
About us.
My mom used to, we all caddied, like, at this, we didn't have money. My dad didn't play golf anyway, and he couldn't
got
play.
A summer job.
He couldn't play because he was too pale, you know, red hair, white skin. So anyway, but we all went to the caddy place. And so my mom would drop, like, six of us off at 8 a.m. and pick us up at 5. She didn't give a fuck what we were doing. We could have been dropped up there and then went to, like, a fucking crack house. She didn't care as long as we were out of the fucking house. You know what I mean? And she never asked, what were you doing? We came home, we were all smoking, we were playing poker. Like, we were caddy, but, wow, you're not caddying all day.
Yeah.
So she didn't give a fuck. We're now parents today, they all have two kids, they're all worried about their fucking kids.
Yeah, you gotta spend all your fucking time
with
your kids.
So
it's
now
exhausting.
It's like, now it's just like, get the fuck out of my house. And like I said, like, you just said, they don't give a shit why you, because again, like I say in my act, if you send all your kids out, you send them all to the park, and you have 10 kids and 9 come back, you still got 9. That's a lot. Like, that's a fucking lot, right? Isn't that a lot? 9 kids? That's a lot. That's more than a lot of people can handle. So my point is, like, if you lose one, I mean, it's fine. Like, I would do a joke, Mac, my brother fell out of the car, because we used to go on vacation, summer vacations. 10 kids, 2 parents in a station wagon, and one of my brothers fell out of the car. He might have been Jimmy with the thing, but I said, Dad, Tommy fell out. My dad didn't even know. I said, Tommy fell out, and my dad immediately got mad at Tommy. Not like, oh, my God, is he okay? He was mad at Tommy for fucking falling out, for slowing us down, you know? But that's how it was, and especially with the Irish. They're like, what the fuck? And it's like, and I don't know if the Irish are, like, extra Catholic or something, but, like, the fact that they have to have these humongous families is so fucking ridiculous.
Well,
like, again, I have two kids.
It has changed.
No, I know, but I have two kids, and, like, a lot of times I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, your nerves are, like, on edge all the time. And like, I can't even have caffeine around my kids because any extra like
anxiety,
it will fucking put me over the edge. So, but imagine having nine and you're like, let's have condomless sex. Let me fucking beat that pussy up one more time.
What was your dad thinking?
No, it's like fucking Jesus Christ. I don't know if he's going for the only thing I could think of. His best friend Tom Berger had 13. So I don't know if it was
some
a competition. Or I don't know if he's like wanting to get to even 10, because that's like a cool number, 10. Even when I say in my act, people go, like, are you really 10? I go, no, I made it up. I'm making it up just because 9 sounded like too small, you know?
So
but 10,
who's
10
the
does sound. 10
who's
does. Neil, my brother.
Oh,
Neil
Neil's
is in showbiz. Yeah. That's why Neil's a fucking baby cunt.
My brother's a comic too, you know.
Oh, he is?
My younger brother, yeah.
Is he the youngest in the family?
Yeah, but we're only 3.
Oh.
My parents started late.
Oh, so who's the oldest?
Me.
And then your brother's the youngest?
The middle brother's a teacher, and the youngest one's a comic, too.
Is he here?
Aiden, nah, he lives in Ireland.
Oh, why?
He started doing comedy here, and I was like, Aiden, fuck that bringer and shows. Come to Ireland, fucking get better at it. I thought he would move home, but he still lives in Ireland.
Oh, that's cool. So yeah. You guys are friends?
We live together.
Oh, my God. I'm going to start crying.
Look, well, you don't have the same.
It's Bill Wyman.
Is it? Does that guy look old? It's not a visual medium.
There was some old guy. I just saw a thing on Keith Richards last night. And even with makeup, he looks like a lizard about to fucking die. You know what I mean? Like a lizard been on a rock too long. No, but and I looked at Rolling Stones are so fucking old now that they
can't. Well, speaking of Aiden, my brother, he once picked Ronnie Wood up off the floor. Ronnie Wood fell in front of him, passed out.
At a pub or something?
At an event in Dublin, and he had to lift him up.
Those guys are, those guys are so cool, though. The fact that they, like Ronnie Wood, his wife was like 25 or whatever.
He's still doing it, and he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, and Keith Richards is smoking. He's smoking in the video, so you know he's basically smoking the whole fucking time. But you know, that there's something to be said, like, if you want to live, you're going to live. You know what I mean? No matter what you do. Even if you're fucking smoking and drinking, if you have gigs to do, you're not gonna fucking die because
some people don't.
No, there's something about mind over matter. You know that George Burns was like, I can't die because I'm booked through February. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no, because my grandfather who was Irish, he smoked and he died when he was like 82. But even when he was in a hospital, like dying, he would smoke and he would put an ashtray on his chest and the nurses come in and one of his kids would put an ashtray on his chest and he would just fucking flick it. So, so some people, you know, I mean, smoking's not good, but whatever. And they didn't have a reason to live, but I'm saying like guys who are in show business and they're like doing well, like why die? Why die? But some guys when they're 70, like my life sucks. I might as well just fucking die, you know?
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that because you know, Joe Paterno.
I don't know him. The coach guy.
Yeah. And he was always, he didn't want to quit. Because he knew once he quit, I mean, people thought he died because of the scandal at Penn State. But he was afraid to quit because he thought he would die as soon as he quit coaching. And he did. Because Bear Bryant, same thing. Like, Bear Bryant coached Alabama. He was a coach for a long time. As soon as he quit, he died like a couple months later. So it's like some guys just know, I got to keep fucking – as soon as I lose my reason to fucking get up in the morning, I'm going to fucking die, you know? So
yeah, well, it's something in it maybe because guys die after their wives die.
Much quicker
than women die after their husbands die.
Yeah, because my wife is going to live like another 40 years after I die. She's going to be like, oh my.
A whole new lease of life. Fucking hell, wow, I'm so liberated.
Be fucking everybody in town. She's probably already like marking them in her head like first, second, third, who she's going to be tagging.
Your wife is Latino?
Yeah, she's Panamanian.
Oh, nice.
But she grew up in the Bronx, so she's a city girl. So wait, so on Twitter, most of your Twitter followers are
Irish.
You don't, they are Irish?
Mostly. And most,
and
yeah,
so when you're in Ireland, do you do theaters when you're there? And why do you come back here if you're so big in Ireland?
Well, first of all, it's interesting to be here. It's inspiring. I get to meet great comics like
And then
like
you see
yourself.
Your family.
You see my family. My mother was sick, so I came back for that.
Oh, your mother, yeah.
No, but also, you know, it's good to, you know, it's this.
But New York's a different kind of a place than that place basically anywhere in the world, right? It's even more different than London, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And the comedy's very different and... There's definitely, honestly, comedy is just a little angrier here. I don't know why. I feel like in comedy clubs here, there's like 60% anger. Comedy clubs in the UK is 20% less.
Yeah, but because people are angry here, because it's it's frustrating.
People are uptight. Yeah.
No, they're uptight because it's expensive to live here, and everything's crowded, and you probably have a roommate. You can't really relax, you know. So even if you can, even these comedy clubs where they go to the shows, they're like the rooms are packed, you know. They push you in. They're like, you know what I mean? It's like I don't work 9 to 5, but when you work 9 to 5, it's impossible to not feel like you're just a number here, like you're just part of like everywhere you go, you wait to eat, you wait at the ATM, you're constantly fucking waiting.
I know, you get no fucking, the only place you get space is in your head. That so I guess it's fun to be here because
but you're from here too, so
yeah but also like it's fucking 15 minute spots, like we were talking about before we got in the car, just the whole way of it is different, so that's good for like figuring out another
plus
way
your ego, you got to check your ego here.
Gotta check your ego. Who the fuck are you?
Yeah,
I gotta wait for Estee's fucking emails like everybody else, you know. I can't
yeah, but let me ask you something. So when the Irish people because actually I'm talking to the fans, when we were just walking from the cellar to his car to do the podcast, and the reason we're doing his car because he is where he normally does it, plus the acoustics are good, and plus you
it's
know
handy.
I and I didn't want to, and he had equipment, and I didn't want to deal with the comics, the Riotcast equipment, because I don't know how to use it. Anyway, so we're walking down the street, and somebody goes, "Des Bishop," and I'm like, "Oh, there's a plan, obviously a plan."
I set it up.
Because literally,
like, when I walk out.
Like 10 feet after we walk out of the cellar, somebody recognizes him. So when you're in Ireland, you must get
it's all the time.
All the time, wow.
But it's not like.
But you sell a lot of tickets there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I make a good living in Ireland.
Oh, good.
So,
is your brother kind of riding that a little bit?
No, I don't think he's riding. He opens up for me.
Oh, wow. You guys, I feel so bad.
What?
I feel so bad. My fans of the on my podcast are going to be like, aren't you embarrassed that him and his brother are so tight? Because me and Neil, basically the whole show.
Oh, you give out about Neil all the time?
No, the whole show was that me and I went on Opie and Jim Norton show.
Yeah.
You know about that show?
I was on that show once, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I went on, and I never went on before, so I was just talking a lot of shit about everybody. Mostly it was like L.A., but then Neil's name came up, and then I was talking shit about him. So that
became... Were you kidding?
I don't know. I mean, people thought it was funny, but was Neil happy with it? No, I texted Neil. I go, I threw you on the bus a little bit today on the fucking Opie radio show, you know, just to give him a heads up. And then he fucking flipped out. So then that was the end of that. He blocked me on Twitter. Did your brother ever block you on Twitter?
No, we keep our shit. I don't deal with
You guys are roommates. It's a fucking joke. How can he block you on Twitter when you're roommates? Fucking idiot.
Sorry,
anyway,
I missed that one. I apologize.
No, it was too Irish dry. But listen. So the thing is, but when you're one of three, you know, like my wife is one of three, and she don't even like her fucking siblings half the time. But you still got to get along with them because there's only three.
Yeah,
you know,
you gotta get
but
along.
When there's 10, it's too many. So it's like. You can pick and choose. You don't have to get along.
Yeah, but you only have one other guy in the fucking comedy industry. I would have thought you would have made sure not to fall out.
Yeah, but the thing was, Neil's. Here's the thing. I saw Dave Chappelle the other night.
So for my people that are listening, Neil was the producer of the Dave Chappelle Show, right?
Yeah, he co-created the Chappelle Show with Dave Chappelle, and he wrote Half Baked with Dave Chappelle. So anyway, but the reason he met Dave Chappelle, and again, all my fans know this. I'm just telling this to your fans now. The reason he, like me and Neil, it's like 12, 13 years between us. I think it's 13. So when I was working, there used to be a comedy club right almost, you can see
Boston
it from here.
Boston Comedy Club.
Boston
yeah.
Comedy Club. Anyway, so I was the club that when you started in New York, you kind of worked there because they didn't pay you. They were unpaid spots. It was like shitty audiences. Louis Schaefer, you know him?
Sure.
He lives in the UK now.
Yeah, I know.
He was the guy who used to drag people in. He used to be the house MC. He was fucking great. The biggest mistake, I don't want to like bash him, but He was going to get a sitcom here. He was going to get a supporting role in a sitcom because he was, like, naturally, like, funny with the blue blazer.
Yeah, he was
Louis
a character,
Schaefer,
man.
Totally. Louis Schaefer, not gay. So he used to be the house MC, and it was like, basically, me and Attell. And then when Chappelle came here, Barry Katz was the manager who owned the Boston Comedy Club. So he would get all his guys here. Like, Louis worked here a lot. Nick DiPaolo, Jay Moore, all the guys that Barry managed or repped in some way for colleges or whatever. So then and Neil was going to NYU, which is right here.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up his Wikipedia, and I saw that he says you started doing comedy, he figured he could do it because of you.
Yeah, well, what happened was he wasn't doing comedy. His Wikipedia is his bio. The last time I read his bio, it's a lie, because what happened was he acted like him and Chappelle started at the same time, which wasn't true. What happened was Neil was working the door. He was going to NYU. He dropped out after a semester. He got a job working at the door at Boston Comedy because he was just hanging around there. He had nothing else to do. So him and Chappelle came into town. Him and Chappelle were the same age. When Chappelle came here, everyone was very kind of threatened by Chappelle because he was very good. He was 18, very naturally gifted. He was already killing because he'd been doing comedy since he was 14. So him and Neil became friends because Neil was around. This is the club that he worked at the most. And it was before Chappelle kind of closed off the circles when he wasn't, like, really big yet here.
Yeah.
So he was still accepting, like, new applications as friends. So him and Neil became friends. And then, and like, a lot, like I said, a lot of the other comics weren't nice to Chappelle or they weren't his age. And because most comics weren't 18, you know?
Yeah, so they were being dicks to him, right?
Yeah, so they were like, the new kid. I'm not going to fucking help the new kid. But Neil was, like, the new kid, too, because he was 18. He just dropped out of college. So they became friends. And then one thing led to another. And then they've had good career together. But I saw Chappelle the other night. And he said he was talking to somebody, and Neil's doing stand-up now, too. But Neil didn't start doing stand-up for years and years and years. Mostly he would just write stuff with Chappelle. But I said to Chappelle, because he introduced me to somebody, and he goes, this is Neil's older brother. And he said, I said, I'm not really Neil's brother. I'm more like his dad. Because, again, like our dad wasn't, like, close with us, you know, because he had 10 kids. So Neil was like, we have no relationship with our dad for the most part. Some of them, like two of my brothers did, but we have six brothers. So most of us didn't. And that's just the way my dad was, you know?
Yeah. He kind of passed it down. He gave a relationship to two, and then they passed.
No, he liked who he liked, and then, but he wasn't going to like everybody. And plus he was a
alcoholic, beater.
No, he said he drank a little bit, but he was a lawyer. He was like a professional lawyer, right, okay. But he was a what do you call it when you're fucking in love with yourself?
A narcissist.
Yeah, he was a narcissist. So he actually, when he found he was a narcissist, he called everybody, tell everybody he was a narcissist. I'm like, if that don't beat all, I go, that's a real narcissist. I got some good news. I'm a narcissist. I got to tell everybody. That was before email. He would have sent a fucking mass email.
It would have been a Facebook post. Please
yeah,
share. Please
yeah, share with everybody you know. The good news. So anyway, he wasn't like that into everybody, you know. So Neil kind of followed me. And with the age difference, that's almost like a generation gap. So, you know, when I was getting shit, you know, if I got a sitcom, I'd be like, Neil, and Neil was like, I don't like sitcoms. Like, Neil was like, he was like more into hip hop. He was just cooler than me because he was from a different generation. So I said to Chappelle, I go, I'm more like his brother. I mean, I'm more like his dad than his brother. And Chappelle's like, I don't know. But it's true because Chappelle don't know. Chappelle knows what Neil tells him. And I know what I know, which is like whatever. So the point is I feel a little bad that I'm not I'm not tighter. Since you lit your roommates with your fucking brother. Now
I
feel like a fucking...
I'm probably going to
do some heroin now.
I didn't mean to make...
Oh, you know what I'm going to do?
You got to just...
I'm going to send Neil a text and see if I'm blocked. Because I don't even send him a text. I know I'm blocked on Twitter.
Well, he was in New York. He was gigging in fucking Bryant Park 2 days ago.
I know. How do you know that?
Because I was at that thing yesterday.
Oh, you went yesterday?
I went to see the Wu-Tang Clan.
Could you go? Could anyone just go?
I had a ticket.
No, but could you buy a ticket?
I didn't buy a ticket, but yeah, you could buy a ticket.
Oh, I thought it was by invitation
only.
But it
was the day before that he was on.
The Roots have like a 2-day festival,
yeah.
Isn't it? So
and
it's
your
them?
Brother's in with the fucking Roots too.
No, you know why? Because the Roots used to perform. Chappelle knows them. Either
yeah.
they were on the Chappelle show, and then supposedly, as the story goes, Neil recommended the Roots to Jimmy Fallon.
No.
Yeah, supposedly that's how the story goes. But the funny thing was, as far as that story goes. Chappelle was on Jimmy Fallon, and they were talking. The Roots were right there, so they were talking about how that basically they were hooked up through Chappelle and whatever, because they were Chappelle knew them from the Chappelle show. But my brother's name never came up, so I'm like, is Neil taking credit for that too? Because Neil takes the credit for a lot of shit. You got to question some of the shit he does. Like he said, him and Chappelle started stand up the same time, which it's like not even true. Like Neil didn't start for like until like he would dabble, he would try once in a while, but he didn't do it like. Full time until like maybe 6, 8, 10 years ago. I don't know. Chappelle's been doing it for like 25 probably.
Yeah.
So again, nobody checks. It's show business. Nobody checks anything you do.
No
one's going to check to see if you have one ball. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you're a fucking total fraud. You're doing bits about you have one ball, you have two balls. So you can say whatever you want. No one fucking facts checked. No one said, no, you could say you were this, you were
but
that.
No, wait a minute. Your brother never fucking hooked you up with like a bit in one of his produced things or anything? Never like.
No, the thing was there was another brother, Daniel, who was an actor and I don't even
there
know.
There was another brother, Daniel. You say it like these people are like from another universe.
I know.
There was this other brother.
Let me tell you a parable. Like let me tell you an Irish folklore story.
It's
no,
like,
what happened was.
And then Daniel.
No, Daniel, my
Galilee.
Brother Daniel also lived here, also went to, he went to school at Fordham. He wanted to be in show business as an actor. He was handsome. He was more handsome than Neil, but who isn't? And he was more handsome than Neil. And so they were close in age. They were like the 9th and 10th in our family. So they grew up together. And Neil kind of, I don't know, Neil wouldn't say he fucked Daniel, but Daniel read, my brother Danny read for a part in the Chappelle Show. And not only he didn't get it. And the guy they gave it to, Neil sent Danny the clip of the guy's audition tape. So Neil thought he was doing Danny a favor by showing you, like, this is the guy we gave it to. You see how his audition tape was good, where Neil took it as like,
Danny took it as like,
not only did I not get it, but he sent me a fucking, he slammed me in the face, you know?
Oh, my God, Jesus.
So they're not speaking. Neil's not speaking to that many.
I got a fucking TV show, The Brennans. I mean,
yeah, we were gonna do a reality.
Fuck the Kardashians.
No, when me and Neil were like when we would have more like family functions, we were talking about doing a family reality show as the Growing Up Brennans.
God damn it!
No, because the thing is like Neil's not that tight with a lot of his siblings. Not that I am, but Neil's not that tight. But Neil's tight with a lot of show business people because he grew up in show business because he was working at the door. And then you just meet a lot of people. And Neil's a star fucker. So that's it. And that's the name of our fans. That's how we got it because it was like ironic title for our fans. It's like star fuckers because I'm anti-star fucking. And
yeah.
So it was like, so they were like,
so
why
Neil
we call-
is very L.A. and you're fucking.
Yeah, and I'm and basically.
You're West 3rd Street, man.
I should be a garbage man. I'm a Westie. No, but Neil loves it. Neil loves it. I'm uncomfortable around show. I'm still uncomfortable when I see like famous comics. Because I feel like whatever I say, if I make a joke, they're gonna be like, "Don't make a joke." You know,
because well, you then you're your own with Chris Rock last.
No, but they're like, you're trying to be funny, or you should be more deferential, or whatever. So you can't. It's hard to win. Like if Amy Schumer's there, I just fucking leave because I know she's gonna be like, "You're a fucking misogynist." You know, like.
Yeah. So you don't get on with Schumer.
No, she's just friends with Neil. So she knows that Neil's probably told her a million things of what a dick I am.
You gotta write a fucking book, man.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, so let's wrap this up.
Yeah, we did it, man. We got to 1 hour and 34 minutes. You tired?
Like I'm so used to doing an hour and a half.
Well, you do all the fucking talking. It's easy for me. It's perfect for me.
I know. I don't want to cockblock you. No,
you're not cockblocking me, man.
Because they love you anyway.
I'm trying to get you to talk. But I think on your one, you probably do all the talking anyway.
I do.
So this is ideal.
Even if there's four
people
there.
I'm just being Lenny, right?
No, you're. It's good because first of all, it's good.
Is
for
Lenny
two
like a straight guy? With
no,
you?
Lenny's good, but Lenny keeps saying like people always say to me like you need Lenny because Lenny's good. Lenny keeps you like whatever on the because otherwise I'll go off on tangents. But it's like I don't know if I need Lenny. So I'm doing this as a test for myself, like because we were good, right? This is a good podcast.
Yeah, well, you could have guests, but I don't know if every guest would be as you know like I don't know if you need a guest or a counselor. Like a therapist.
No, I thought you would be good because you have I like someone with a backstory. Like I know your one ball store. I know like that thing when it has been. So like I don't want to just get a guy and shoot the shit. Like you've been around.
But we pretty much just shot the shit.
No, but you're in Ireland. You like even the fact that you get along with your brother. Your brother's a comic and you live together. That's a beautiful story normally, but it just ruined my podcast. Like it made me look like a complete fucking cuntateria. I was going to say cafeteria, but I said cuntateria. Anyway, it makes me look like a huge buffet of asshole.
If misery is your bag, the more of a bitter cunt you are, the more successful you are, because misery is your bag.
I know, and people like it, because I'm genuinely fucking like I. It's obviously like this is me, because even sometimes I'm like, am I in a bad mood today? What if I go on one day and I do my podcast and I'm like in a good mood? The fans will be like, you're a fraud. But I've done 40 and I've never yet been like, oh, that's terrific. Like the other night I tweeted that I was in a lobby of a building. I heard a Coldplay song and then it played me all the way through the elevator. It was in the elevator too. And I'm like, I actually tweet. I go, you know what? Coldplay's not that bad. And people are tweeting back like, what the fuck happened to you? I go, no, they had like
sticking
one.
Up for Coldplay.
No, I'm like, they had one song that I thought was pretty good. So I'm like, I can't even like Coldplay. No, I don't. I can't like them, but I'm basically saying like, well, even when I'm in a good mood, I can't even like them. I still have to like to listen to death metal and whatever.
That's pretty amazing. You're not even allowed to be happy professionally now.
Yeah. No, like, I can't do it.
Happy you're fired.
Yeah, if I show up and they're like, they see me smiling, you know. And then another thing I learned to do is like do a fake smile. So I was talking to somebody the other day, and Judy Gold, and somebody said, "Wow, you're really happy talking to Judy." I go, "It's totally fake." I just like I fake smile now, because like when Liz sees me, she goes, "How are you?" And I go, "Ah." I do like a fake smile. I can't really do what I'm talking, but the thing is, like, it's like I am kind of miserable. So I've done 40 episodes now. If it was fake, I probably would have cracked by now, right?
I think so, man. Yeah, I think right. And I like the genuineness. But we can go. I gotta go for a piss anyway.
All right, yeah, we're done.
So thanks very much to Kevin for being on our podcast and letting me be on his. Although, me really, it's just him talking. Just a bit of admin related to the podcast. I love Adam Hills. He's a good friend. And I left that bit in because that is very much a big theme of the Misery Loves Company podcast. Kev likes to kind of rip on other comedians. I take it with a pinch of salt because I think maybe it's a little bit of a performance. But I'm not going to do my defend Kevin for that. That's what he does, and that's fine. But me personally, I love Adam Hills. I think he's a great comic. I think he's doing great work on The Last Leg. In fact, I would even go so far as to say he has surpassed my expectations of his abilities to be able to create some what I would consider strong activist comedy on The Last Leg. So, you know, in case people tell Adam that somebody was ripping on him on my podcast, I'm a fan. Kevin Brennan says what he says, and I think you know, whatever. That's it. I've said that. But I very much enjoy chatting to Kevin. I enjoy Kevin's humor. So you know, you have to, I guess you have to take the good with the bad to a degree. Again, you can listen to the unedited version on the Misery Loves Company podcast. Thanks everyone for coming back. I'm very tired because I stayed up late to watch the debate. When I say late, for my life late, in that when I'm not gigging, I tend to go to bed very early. It's now 12:40 a.m. Sunday into Monday, and I'm going to put this up now. So send a message on Twitter. At Des Bishop is my Twitter. Facebook.com/Des Bishop. Des Buffer is my Snapchat. I'm on Instagram too. You can tweet Kevin, which I forgot his Twitter, but Google Kevin Brennan's Twitter. And I don't know Neil Brennan, but obviously I can't speak for him. I'll let the brother thing be its own thing. And if anybody has any major complaints, of course, send them my way. But I prefer some nice reviews on iTunes. Helps us keep up strong in the charts. Yes, thank you so much for all your support, and we'll be back next Monday with another one. By the way, I think you've assumed now, perhaps you've noticed, we're going to one a week. It just literally, the editing was killing me, finding guests and stuff. When I'm back in Ireland, I think maybe we'll be able to go two a week, but for now in New York, we're one a week. I'm in the Wilbur Theater on Friday night. So come and check that out, in association with the Irish International Immigrant Center. And I went to visit them 2 weeks ago, and they do amazing work. It's not just with Irish immigrants. It's with immigrants from all over the world, which, you know, in the world of the rise of Donald Trump, you know they are doing important work, because America is great already. And the reason why it is great is because it's a dynamic country of immigrants and immigrants' children. So while Donald Trump is trying to make America great again by giving out about immigration, I would suggest that it's great because of it. I myself am a product of immigration to America. So I'm happy to be working with the Irish International Immigrant Center in conjunction with my show at the Wilbur this Friday in Boston. So come check it out. I'm in New York in Carolines on November 3rd. And I do spots all over the city, but I don't push them. I push the bigger headliner shows. So November 3rd, New York, and this Friday in the Wilbur in Boston. I hope to see you there. Thanks, everybody, for listening to our longest podcast ever, which has now gone on longer because my outro is going on forever, too. So I'm just going to shut up and let you get on with your lives. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.